You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
If you enter my mind for any reason, I will twist your head off and use it for a chamber pot. Are you going to arrest me, Garibaldi?
Wait. I want to live to see the future.
Mr. Bonova, Mr. Self, anybody else? Shoot him.
We are star stuff. We are the universe made manifest, trying to figure itself out.
All of this was for nothing. Unless we go to the stars.
Boom. Sooner or later. Boom!
Hello, and welcome to the Epsilon 3, a Babylon 5 rewatch podcast. Each week, we review an episode of the 1990s sci-fi TV classic Babylon 5. This week, Season 1, Episode 14, TKO. I'm Paul.
I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And we are the Epsilon 3.
And the synopsis for this week. Garibaldi is surprised when an old friend comes to Babylon 5 to fight in the Mutai, a savage alien fighting arena. Meanwhile, Ivanova has trouble dealing with her father's death. Don't tell me this is going to be another old flame that turns up and, you know, we've got to go through all this again. Written by JMS and Larry DiTillo and directed by John C. Flynn III. This episode was released on the 25th of May, 1996, and it takes place in August 2258. The guest stars are Gregory McKinney, Walker Smith, Soon Tech O, the Muta Do, Don Stroud as Caliban, Theodore Baikal as Rabbi Koslov, James Jude Courtney as Gayor, and Michael McKenzie as Migo, who has actually had four previous appearances on Babylon 5. He was, in fact, the Narn captain who crashed the ship into the Babylon 5 and set off the strike.
Oh, yes.
So, guys, let's try and be enthusiastic about this, but what do we think of this episode?
Well, sir, we didn't like it. Oh, look, it's Garibaldi's old friend. He's come to the station, and he's going to be racist, and woohoo, yay.
Yeah, it is beset with issues and problems, this episode. One half of it is pretty poor and hard to watch, but at the same time, sort of entertaining. And the other half is what gripped me the most and really is why, I didn't write down any notes for this episode because I was so busy watching Ivanova's performance, or Gloria Christian's performance, that I just wanted to watch that all the way through. It was an amazing, amazing character.
Spectacular. The emotions that she plays off of, you can't say anything bad about her at all as an actress. No. She's just fantastic.
Absolutely. And I thought the way she hasn't come to terms with her father's death and her feelings for her father. This has been going on for a while now, over a number of episodes. This isn't all one that's just suddenly sort of sorted out in one episode. Yes, it was amazing. And what I did like about it is not only did they resolve to a certain degree the issue at the end with Ivanova and how she felt about her father, they gave a fantastic example of how you should think about it. If you've not got on with somebody and they've passed away and you've got these feelings of I haven't had time to say goodbye, or maybe he didn't say you love me or whatever, the way to think about it is to try and think of those positives, try and think of those little stories that you can tell, those little moments that you did have. That was the real father that she had, and not the guy who switched off all the emotions and basically turned her into what he was. All the emotions were gone, and he was just a Russian. But they did show at the end that he was trying to apologize for it. He did realize it too late, but it is there. And she's she's reconciled her thoughts and feelings for him, and at the end of it has realized that she did have a father, and those little bits that she had were the ones that she will hold on to and take on with her going forward.
Yeah, and that's about all the good stuff you can say about this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah, dour, though. That's the thing. Like, as great and as gripping the performance is, it's such a dour note to sort of imbue all of your interest into, that is it really something you're going to come back to? I mean, as great as a performance it is, as informative to her character, like, I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to see Ivanova like being down and having things decided for her. She's the powerhouse that is Ivanova. She's in control of her destiny. I don't want to feel like she's having a bad day. I don't like seeing her having a bad day. I want her to have a good time. But it's a great performance, and it's a great delve into the story, which was already set up episodes ago. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to come back to this. It's the only good thing about the episode, but it's not enticing. It doesn't want me to say, yeah, of course, come back for TKO. Classic, absolute classic of season one.
You know what's funny about that? Speaking about coming back to this episode, I watched it not too long ago for my guest appearance on the Muppet Trek podcast with Stephen Jarman. I was the first guest. And as we all know, Muppet Trek takes an episode of Star Trek, a Muppet episode, compares and contrasts. And they asked me to come on the show and pick an episode from one of my favorite TV series that wasn't Star Trek. And so I said, okay, well, I'll do Babylon 5. What episode are we going to do? And they both said, well, we're going to be at episode 14 by that point. I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and watch that. And when you know it was TKO. I was like, oh, this is a difficult episode to watch. and then I had to watch it again the other night for this episode here that we're recording currently. And I don't need to see it again for another 7 or 8 years, I don't think, if ever.
You were just one out from that really great episode last week.
Yeah. We were supposed to do 13, but the scheduling didn't work and it became episode 14. So. Oh.
It was an interesting idea. You know, Fight Club. Okay, fine. These things will sort of exist on a, you know, it fits for the space station that this might go on somewhere. The aliens will fight each other and, you know, to see, you know, put money on it and et cetera, et cetera.
No humans allowed.
Hmm. Which is an interesting one. Why? Why are no humans allowed? I mean, easy meat? I don't know.
Because the humans have pretty much taken over the galaxy, and they've got colonies everywhere, and they've got this station, and they're just all over the place, and the aliens want something for their own selves.
So they're fighting for second place. Yeah.
That would be my guess, but they don't really explain it or say what it's all about.
I mean, I watched it and I thought, yeah, it's okay, I remember it, and it was quite entertaining in some respects. It was a fight, you know, and the fact that in the end of it they didn't really have a winner, I thought was good, because if he'd just come in and won, then he goes away being the big I am, the big champion. If he loses, then not this, what is this, Rocky? So to make it a tie and then have that sort of respect between aliens and humans, and you know, that was quite good. But as you say, they used a really good actor in Soon Tech O, who has been in MASH. He's been in loads of other things. You know, but unfortunately, in MASH, he's a Korean. So, okay,
you're talking, fine. You're talking about the Muta Do, the guy who's in charge of the fight.
Yes, that's right.
The Asian stereotype alien.
Yes. Unfortunately, because it's a martial arts fight, do they really need to use an Asian for that? The only real way you can tell he's Asian, because his voice sounds Asian. You can't really tell by all the prosthetics he's wearing that he's Asian. You can't really see his face. But yes, a little awkward, should we say. They could have used somebody else. They could have used a boxing ring instead of, you know, maybe some martial arts. But martial arts look better on it, I think. Yeah, I think the fight sequences were really good. I think they were well played. There's only a couple of times I thought, yeah, it was a little bit out with that punch. It didn't quite work. But everything else looked really good. I thought it was very well choreographed.
Oh, yeah.
But as you say, you've then got the Caliban, the guy who helps Walker Smith.
Yeah, he's a Native American stereotype, because he had the long hair and, you know, and he talks quietly like a stereotypical Native American, and then the Asian stereotype. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what are we doing here, guys? Like, who was the casting director on this? It's hard to watch. especially in our politically correct society of the 2020s. But back in 1994, I guess it was okay because you could be racist and call people snakeheads, I guess, and that was perfectly fine. AET, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it was too much. Like back then, I'm sure it was okay, but now we're all very sensitive to everything. I'm like, wow. And it reminded me of the fact that at work this week, the radio station was playing Aerosmith's Dude Looks Like a Lady. And I'm like, wow, they would never write this song nowadays. Like, it's just the society that we live in, we've come so far and we've progressed so much that things that were okay back then are just not okay now.
Well, they weren't okay then. It's just that a lot of people didn't.
Right, but there was no groups to get up in arms with it. And it was just, we don't talk about it. Okay, fine. And speaking of things that we don't normally talk about, here's a promo for another podcast right here on the ESO Network.
Have you been searching for that one heavy metal podcast that covers all of your favorite geeky topics as well? Well, look no further. The Metal Geeks Podcast is here to save the day. Whether you are into video games, films, comic books, theme parks, or even, yes, heavy metal, then the Metal Geeks Podcast is a place for you. Check us out on all of your favorite podcasting apps, and we are proud members of the ESO Network. Keep it geeky and keep it metal.
That was a great promo. I hope you all go check that out. Back to you, Paul, since you're the host.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. Yes. Very professional.
I try.
It doesn't help that I got this tickly cough and I took a breath to actually say, and now let's go for a promo, and couldn't do it. And Sean has to jump in at the last minute just to quickly do that. So thank you very much.
Hey, it's my professional podcasting service.
Does that mean we have to pay him?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. I'll tell you what, let's put him in the Muay Thai and see if he can fight his way out. And then if he survives, then we'll pay him. That's fine.
You know what you could? You could pay me in that that Harlan Ellison book that Claudia Christian was reading in her quarters.
That's very true.
Is the very next thing I was coming to. Yes.
Am I reading your mind today or what? Am I Lady Ladira? Do I have visions of the future?
Yes, working without a net. Ellison is credited as the conceptual consultant for the Babylon 5 series. And Working Without a Net was the title of Ellison's planned autobiography, which was not published until 2019. According to JMS, Ellison borrowed the prop and carried it around for a short while to make people think they had missed it when it had come out. It's really weird because he's got a picture of him on the back and it's obviously his autobiography, but he may have started it then, but he still had another 14, 15, 16 years worth of life to put into the book, which he did and brought it out in 2019, which is quite funny.
I also like that she was laughing at it, knowing how much of a character that Harlan Ellison used to be and how argumentative he was. I quite appreciated the character beat that Ivanova would laugh at his autobiography.
Yes, yeah. It still works now, though, because you want to go out and buy it and see what she was laughing at.
Yeah, absolutely. Which chapter?
That's not me. That's a cat. Mm.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. What did you think of TKO? Yeah.
Agreed. I agree.
Meow. Meow.
That's the best I'm going to get out of her.
So Garibaldi meets his old friend Walker Smith, the professional boxer. Walker Smith was the actual name of pro boxer Sugar Ray Robinson. And Rabbi Kozlov's ship is named the White Star. Wait a minute.
Which is the
White Star?
Isn't that the company that made the Titanic?
It is. And it's also a foreshadowing as well, because it's as an inside joke, apparently. The White Star is the Ranger ship later seen in season 2.
Spoilers. That's right. That's the ship they use all the time, right? The White Star. That's the new class of battlecruiser.
Mm. I don't think I'd like to have called it the White Star after what happened to the Titanic, though.
Well, it's cultural difference, to the Minbari, White Star means something completely different. And, the humans just didn't want to mention their history just because they would just bring it down.
Yeah, they should have called it the Defiant.
Because
every space station needs a ship called the Defiant, right? So it would have made more sense.
Mm. But as a... as a ranger ship, rangers, they go out and find things, don't they? They're the first to get to places. And, yeah, a bit like a pathfinder, so maybe it should have been called the Pathfinder.
That would have worked good. Too.
That's true. Very true. Yes. Very true.
When Walker Smith is saying goodbye to Rabbi Kozlov, a sign is visible behind Smith's head, which reads, "Airlocks are no joke." I spotted that one.
True. They're not funny at all.
No. So, Sean, yes, are there any Star Trek connections?
We do have a couple, as a matter of fact. We've got Theodore Bickel, who played Rabbi Kozlov in this episode. He played Sergei Rozhenko, Worf's father, in Star Trek The Next Generation. And Lenore Kasdorf, who played the ISN reporter, played Lauren in TNG's Attached.
There you go. Every week there's a connection somewhere.
Absolutely.
Amazing. Okay, so let's move on to ratings. Now, as we normally do, we rate the episodes out of 5, because it's Babylon 5. IMDb rated this so low that it almost comes into our 5 category. They do it out of 10, and it almost comes into our 5 category. They rated it as 5.8.
Wow.
That's funny. Not altogether inaccurate.
No.
Before we started recording, I was joking that TKO stands for total crappy offering, but it's not a total waste, because we do have all the gold from Ivanova, where she laughs, she cries, and it just seems absolutely natural. It doesn't seem like acting. Some of the actors in this show are just so much that character that it doesn't even seem fake at all. So because of that, and because Walker Smith is a racist and that storyline just really went nowhere, I was going to give it 2.5, which is a 5 out of 10. I wanted to give it a 2.25, but Ivanova brings it up. So I'm just going to stick with 2.5. It's boring. It's bad. It's slightly racist, and it's just a waste of an hour's episode.
Okay, Dan, what do you think?
Ivanova, yeah, saves any kind of rating. So any rating I'm giving this episode is only because of Ivanova. Great performance again, like Sean said, completely natural, fits the character, but it's not where I want the character. It's not the character I want to come back and watch all the time. And part of the rating criteria for me is always, would I want to revisit the episode? And even like Soul Hunters, when I think back to my other least favorite episodes, Soul Hunters and the Infection episode, there was at least a sci-fi kind of twist to it that was kind of like, yeah, okay, it's a bit action-y. Maybe I could go back and watch that. But I don't want to see Ivanova upset. I like Ivanova. I want her to be strong. And the rabbi kind of felt like he was pressuring her into decisions that she didn't want to make. And although ultimately it's probably better for her mental health to go through with the ceremony, it felt like it wasn't her decision, that she was forced into it, that she came to it because there were pressures from so many people all telling her that this will be good for you. That even when she does come around to the decision to do it, I don't know, it didn't feel like it was entirely her decision. So I'm a bit torn on that one, whether I like that idea. And then, of course, there's the rest of the episode. Do I have to talk about that? I've seen more convincing and more deadly fights for something that's considered the deadliest fight arena ever outside my local Wetherspoons. Give me some tentacles, give me some ooze, give me some, acid blood or something that would make it a little bit more dangerous. Take those fluorescent bulbs that are all around the outside of the ring and smash them over each other's heads. Something, just make it a little bit more interesting. For the generation that was brought up on Mortal Kombat, I want Mortal Kombat.
Spines being ripped out and things.
That would be dangerous.
Even the fight from TNG's Code of Honor was more convincing.
Exactly. Even the fight, you remember when Garibaldi was accused of being a terrorist, when he was beating up the guy and throwing him against the wall, that looked more deadly than what these guys were going through. And these are professional fighters. So that completely brings it down. So all the highs you can get from Ivanova completely drags it down. And I'm giving it 1 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
I do not like this episode.
How do you really feel?
I'm sorry, but this is going to get cast aside.
So this is lower than Soul Hunter and lower than Mind War, lower than Believers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
There's a sci-fi thing. I would come back to those episodes first, over and above a terrible, terrible sports episode. Like, it's not even done well. Like, it's not even a good Rocky montage. There's nothing in there.
I think that you're doing Ivanova a great disservice there. I think, well, even Claudia Christian. Because, okay, we start off with this is an average episode, 2.5. And now where do we go from here? Ivanova pushes that up to make it much better. But I don't think the other half is that bad that it would drag it down to lower than that. So, it would have to be, five bad in order to drop it back down. And I don't think it's five bad or two and a half bad even. I love Claudia Christian in this. I love the story. I love the fact that how she reconciles with her father. That is amazing writing and really good. However, the fight sequences with the 1960s sound effects as people get punched and slapped and come on, this is 1996 for goodness sake, or 1994 or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it is a bit poor. I mean, it's good, there's some good fight sequences, but it's not, like you say, it's not there's no jeopardy to it. It's just even MMA these days, you watch MMA, my goodness, that's something to watch. It is vicious and brutal. And this didn't come anywhere close to it. And this is supposed to be the biggest thing in the galaxy. No, you're right. It doesn't really work.
And we've never heard of the guy or we never see him again.
No, that's right.
There's no stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I like the idea that it came out as a draw and then there was this mutual respect between the aliens and the humans. That was good. I like that. And again, that's enough to sort of stop it from falling too far back below the 2.5 mark. So for me, this is a 3. It's just above average. There are, I think, worse episodes than this, but looking back at my scores, I'm thinking, well, is it really as bad as what I thought Soul Hunter was or Infection? Infection was...
I didn't mind Soul Hunter as much as you guys. It was Infection I couldn't stand.
Yeah, Infection was... I've put that lower. So this is not my lowest episode by any means. It's certainly not the highest.
I think that's it as well. It's the episode straight after Signs and Portents to have such a crazy high and then to come in with this. It's TKO'd itself. There you go.
That's pretty much our worst episode to date, really. I think our average has put it quite low down. In fact, our average is for this episode, for the three of us over this episode, is 2.17. Which equals Believers as being the worst episode we've watched. Yeah, because I've put Believers down as my worst episode, and up until now, Dan had put that as his worst episode, and so had Sean. So there you go.
Yeah, it's just terrible. It just, oh God. If they had such a great premise, sorry, I'm just going to keep on going on about that. They had such a great premise in the idea that there's a intergalactic sports arena and that there's so much things they could throw at that. You know, there could be political intrigue and betting behind the scenes that Garibaldi could be sorting out. There were so many things they could do. And instead they went for two racist stereotypes and a character that we don't care about.
Walker Smith. You are human. You cannot fight in the Mutado.
Show me proper respect. Okay, we need to cut that out. But also, it's your favourite trope, Paul, of not only do we get it once, but twice, two characters from someone's past have come to the station to visit our two main characters.
Yeah.
They've played the tripe so much, they've done it twice in one episode. And that's how bad this episode is.
I like the way you used the word tripe and not trope. Yes, that's true.
Tripe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. In fact, it's less than tripe.
It's raw tripe.
It's trap.
Not it's good, almost, whatever it is.
No. It's that bad. It's almost trip. But there we go.
Oh, God.
But the good news is we can only go up from here until we reach the first half of season 5.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Oh, good. We got that to look forward to.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the end of this episode. Why not send us some feedback at the Epsilon 3 threthree@gmail.com. That's three spelled T-H-R-E-E, not the number. Or you can find us on our Facebook page. Just search Facebook for the Epsilon 3. So that is the end of this episode. Join us again next week, where we'll be discussing Season 1, Episode 23, Legacies.
I want to thank all of you for sharing this time of sorrow with me. You've helped me to find somebody long lost and very precious to me. The father I loved. Though it's traditional to recite the morning prayer in Hebrew, I would like to read it in English tonight so that my good friend Jeffrey Sinclair may share it with us.
End.
Lights and good night.
O God, full of compassion, who dwellest on high, grant perfect rest beneath the sheltering winds of thy divine presence, among the holy pure who shine as the brightness of the firmament, to André, my father, who has gone to his eternal home. Amen.
Amen.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.